morning and welcome to the Sports Polygamy Podcast. It's Wednesday, the 13th of February, 2013. I'm Eric George, and I'm joined, as always, by my man lover, Kirk Dalziel. How are you, Kirk?
I'm sizzling. It's a heat wave over here, baby.
Yeah, Perth. Loving it.
Oh, as a redhead, I couldn't have picked a worse place to live. But I'm also heading off today to coach the under-15s team of the Perth Bayswater Club. So I'll be producing Australia's future rugby stars, Eric.
I'm pleased to find that you've discovered a reasonably easy way of serving your community service sentence.
I've got to go get a working with kids card first.
So it is just about time for the Super Rugby competition to begin. It always kind of sneaks up on you as the other main winter sports are still a month or so away. But rugby starts this weekend. I'll be going down on Friday night to watch the Rebels play the Force. And it's about time, Kirk, that we made some harebrained predictions for what's going to happen this year.
Oh, I look forward to it, and I can assure you that I've thrown all sorts of common sense to the wind with some of my predictions, but let's just go with it, Eric. It's exciting. I don't have probabilities this time, though. The lack of statistics in rugby is annoying because I was looking for something to do at work today and couldn't find relevant statistics.
All right. Well, we're going to do this conference by conference as we did last year. And look, rather than running through all 15 teams, I think we're better off just talking about the ones that count, the ones that are in contention, the ones that could be making the finals. So starting off with Australia, the best country of all of them involved.
Oh, yeah, there's so much thrilling rugby coming out of there.
Hey, this is the year, Kirk. As I said in our 2013 preview, this is the year for a resurgence in rugby in Australia. And luckily, you are a bandwagon jumper, so you can get right on board. look, why don't we jump in? And how many teams do you think, Kirk, are relatively in the mix for making the finals here?
I still think it's two. The Waratahs might get a gig now with a change of coach, but there seems to be something fundamentally terrible with that team. I think the Rebels will be better. They'll be a hell of a lot more competitive, and the Force are going to be depressing. So I think it's a race between two again, between the Reds and the Brumbies.
Yeah, I agree. I think we can both agree that the Reds will win this conference.
Oh, no.
Really? You think the Brumbies will win this conference?
I think so. Picking up Pocock is a huge boost, Eric. And then you've got a full, if he can get a full season from Lealafano, and guys like that, they got hit by injuries a fair bit. So
it's true, but they seem to overachieve so much last year. You know, they won some tight games and they lost some. I mean, you look at their schedule and their tour matches this year are the Sharks, the Stormers, the Highlanders and the Blues. And, you know, perhaps the Blues aren't going to be that tough, but the other three are very difficult games. So they'd be lucky to, I think, win one out of the four. And I just feel like this might be the kind of second year slump for them a little bit, where they've got a lot of good youth. And obviously, Pocock's a, you know, unspeakably great pickup for them. But I think there's a chance that they slip a little bit back towards perhaps what their true talent level was last year.
Well, maybe, but I think Pocock's got to be at least worth a try in most Super 15 games he plays in, just whether he sets one up or steals a ball or makes a game-saving tackle, much in the same way that I think Richie McCaw is. And so I think they stay at least on par.
Okay.
But I'm going to have them winning it, not gagging it up like last year.
Fair enough. I think the Reds are the best team in Australia. They've still got the most talent. I mean, if you want to talk about injuries, you know, Genia and obviously Quade missing for the start of the season really sunk that. That team was built around, you know, an athletic back row and a pretty exciting halves pairing. And I think if they can get that going again, then they should win this competition. They've got the Highlanders, Chiefs, Cheetahs and Stormers. Not easy, but not as hard, I don't think, in some ways. But we'll see. I mean, I know you're very high on the Highlanders this year. You mentioned the Waratahs. I think they are the dark horse here. Because just as the Brumbies have overachieved last year, I think the Waratahs have underachieved for about a decade. They've got a lot of talent on that team. I think if they can win a couple of early games and get some momentum, they could actually do pretty well with the Bulls, the Kings, the Hurricanes, and the Crusaders is their tour matches.
Oh, you're not getting past the Hurricanes. Are you kidding me?
I think the Kings are, you know, the W in this year.
Well, what's his name? Chica? Checker?
Yes.
The coach? He's had success where he's gone previously, including winning a Heineken Cup in 2009. Getting Michael Hooper's good. Who the hell knows what's going to happen with Israel Folau, but at least coming to.
Have you seen the footage from him in preseason? He looks amazing.
Well, yeah, well, this is the thing. It's more like rugby league. This makes better sense than going to AFL. And before we start calling him a tri-athlete or a tri-code athlete, he was hopeless in the AFL, so that completely doesn't count. But he'll be a lot better in rugby union, I think. And he's beastly. He's of a Sonny Bill Williams build, where he's just freakishly large. So that's going to help them a whole heap. But they did lose some good players, Eric. They lost Orc Hock, Rocky Elsom, and Helangahu, however you like to say it. So they've lost some good players as well.
Yeah. So I think that they could actually be in the mix for perhaps a seventh through ninth kind of spot here. In the same field as the Brumbies could be as well. I think those two could be competing for a final spot. But we'll agree to disagree. This is good, Kirk. Unlike last year, where we're differing from the start. Moving on to your stomping ground, Kirk, New Zealand. Tell me about that.
Well, this is good. I think you know where I'm going with number one, and it's going straight to the Highlanders, baby. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Look, a lot of their season fell apart last year because of Colin Slade, and a lot of my decision hinges on him as well. If you can get a full season out of that guy, but the back line was so explosive when he was in it. But when you have a 65-year-old Tony Brown and a Delaney coming back, who was a part-time fly half at the best of times, it's going to be really hard to coordinate your back line. But if he stays healthy and he links up with Ma Nonu in the centres, they got Tony Woodcock to bolster up the forward pack even more, even though it's already a pretty substantial forward pack. Then you throw Brad Thorne, who's a beast no matter what he does. It's going to be an imposing forward pack, even better than last year's. And their backs were incredible last year.
They were, and I do have a lot of respect for the workmanship that they displayed. You know, they do feature a couple of your favourite players, so you've got to give them some respect there. They do have an easy schedule. Kings, Bulls, Force, Rebels is, you know, three wins at least in there.
Yep.
So that's good for them, and you're right, their pack is better. It's just so hard to see them carrying this for a whole season.
They have to sometime, Eric.
They do. But there's, you know, is the year that they're playing in the same conference as the reigning champion and the Crusaders and, you know, the potentially improving Hurricanes of the year that they're going to do it? New Zealand looks cutthroat this year.
Oh, I'll get to that later, Eric. But look, they've gone for the interesting step as well of avoiding going over the salary cap by only having 31 players on their roster instead of 32.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's how they managed to lure those big names in there. But Brad Thorne's really going to – have you ever seen that man go backwards?
No.
That'll help.
No. He has that tractor motor for sure. He only goes in one direction.
Who do you think wins, Eric?
Oh, I think it's a toss-up between the Crusaders and the Chiefs, to be honest. I think potentially the Chiefs will do it again just because even though they're missing Sonny Bill, they got a great team. They have, you know, they're not a particularly old team, so I don't think they'll, you know, regress too much. And they have a pretty easy schedule. Stormers, Kings, Rebels, Waratahs isn't that hard. So I think the Chiefs could potentially pip out the Crusaders, but I think it's up to those two, and maybe the Highlanders will sneak into sixth.
Well, I think the bit here that's going to help the Chiefs as well, because they lost Sonny Bill Williams, which is never good, but they got to keep Cruden, who's developing as he gets bigger, he gets better and better. Richard Kahui's back after a separated shoulder last year. And Kerr Barlow.
Your boy.
Has been really picking it up as well. So they're going to be good. But they've also recruited a few of my old favourites as well, like Ross Filippo. He's coming back from Japan. And Gareth Anscombe. So you've got a very good fly half back up there.
Yeah, so I think they could be good. You know, if you look in Christchurch, obviously they're missing Richie for quite a while as he, you know, rests on top of a mountain or whatever he does to get healthy. But is there any doubt, do you think, that when he's on, Israel's the most exciting, explosive player that the All Blacks have in their back line?
Oh, I think he is in probably one of the best in world rugby. But the problem is he going to be on? I mean, it's just...
But he had that World Cup hangover last year. He looked like he was still partying up until game day. So he looked better at the end of the season and their tour. So maybe he can carry that on for this year and help them.
I've been hearing good things coming out of him playing centre and in some of the warm-up games as well. I don't think they'll play him there, but it'll be handy to have him being able to play in another spot. And he also has Aaron Major teaching him, who's pretty handy himself.
He wasn't bad.
But I'm just going to go with third here, Eric. I don't know if Dan Carter can get through a full season, missing Richie for a substantial portion of the season, and Matt Todd had a bit of second-year itis, and whether he can get over that or not is another issue. They lose a really good bench player and reserve prop in, one of the Franks brothers.
Ben or Owen, one of them.
One of them. They grow a beard. I can't tell who's who. So I'm not entirely sure how they're going to go. It's starting to become a pretty aged team. Oh, they did get some good players, though. Jeremy Sua. I imagine that's how you say it. He's the scrum half for Samoa in the World Cup. And Nipo Lalala, who was the brother of Casey Lalala, who played for the All Blacks. So there's a couple of newcomers in there, but I think losing Richie and the age of some of these players is going to just wear them out a little bit.
But see, this is the thing. I mean, in fairness, this is a trap I've fallen into over the last couple of seasons, so take this with a grain of salt. But say we're six games out from the end of the season, and you've got these three teams essentially in a logjam at the top of the table. Who are you going to put your money on to close out the season with, say, four wins in five games and win the conference? It's not the Highlanders. It can't be the Highlanders.
Probably the Chiefs. And then the Highlanders here.
Yeah, maybe the Chiefs, but not the Highlanders. The Crusaders have got a winning culture. They have just... The Highlanders would be shitting themselves if they had to play the Crusaders. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the Highlanders played the Hurricanes twice or something in the last 3 weeks. So they got a reasonably easy run home, but still, I think it could get a little bit wobbly for them.
I just like the sound of Ma Nonu this year. All the reports coming out of preseason training say that he's tearing it up and pre-games, preseason matches, and just in training in general. So I think he's got that spark back a little bit.
Well, that's great. He's been such a stable player throughout his career. So let's hope. And finally, obviously, South Africa. This is the year, Kirk.
This is the year, you reckon?
This is the year. No, I think it's down to the Sharks and the Stormers for me. Sharks, it's disappointing to see Michalak gone. He was really good for that team last year. And Butch James, whilst, you know, he's an able replacement, he's not as creative as Michalak was. So I think that's a bit of a downgrade for them. But they've still got a lot of talent offensively, obviously. And I think it'd be good for South Africa to see a team with somebody like JP Peterson winning the conference.
Wait, who did you say was going to win the Sharks?
I think, look, I'll tell you at the end of this conversation. For me, it's either the Sharks or the Stormers. I still haven't decided.
Ooh. Well, I'm going to start with the Stormers. I think they'll probably win the conference again. They've got just a lot of really good players. And they've picked up this really good young guy whose name I can't even pronounce. But his first name is Elton.
Good.
but he's supposed to be one of the big young guns coming out of South African rugby.
And they got Skulk back, so he can, you know.
Yeah, they got Skulk.
Commit war crimes on a rugby field.
Yeah, so I think the Stormers will probably win it, but the Sharks will look handy again. I don't know why people were so surprised that they got in there, considering the average age of the bull side is 50. But yeah, losing Frederick Michalak isn't going to help you. And Sykes.
Yeah, their leading try scorer. Yeah.
And losing Michalak, which is the bane of my life when he used to play for France, it was that unpredictable. give you. He's yeah, that's going to hurt them a little bit. So I say they slip to second, but I reckon they slip into sixth.
Really? Okay. Hang on, you've had two teams you're saying finish sixth, but. We'll get to that in a sec.
Oh, wait, no, hang on. Yeah, we'll get to that in a sec.
I think I'd probably give the Stormers just a little bit of an edge because their defense is scary good and they might actually be able to pass the ball this year. And just the other fact is, you know, when they go on the road, they play the Hurricanes, the Blues, the Waratahs, and the Rebels.
That's not too hard.
No, 2 to 3 to 4 wins in there. So I think that gives them a decent leg up on the conference. I think it's 1-2. Stormers, Sharks. I'm not buying the hype on the Bulls. I mean,
yeah, they haven't really done anything.
But the one thing that's in their advantage is I think they start their road trip in like week 2 or 3, so they'll get out of the way really early, and then they can just set up camp in South Africa for the rest of the year. So they could mount a late charge, but I don't buy it.
Yeah, well, they haven't made any major changes over the off season, so it's essentially the same team, just a year older, which isn't good because they just. They looked a step behind everybody. And Mornay Steyn hasn't been kicking well.
No. And if he's not kicking well, I don't see what you get from Mornay Steyn.
No, he's the Johnny Wilkinson of South African rugby.
So the most important question, obviously, for the South African conference is, do the Kings win one game?
God, who the hell knows? I don't know anyone on this team except for they got the Argentinian, my man. Juan Martin Fernandez Loeb. I'm pretty happy about that.
Oh God, I think they might win one just because it's really hard to go a full season of sport like without winning a game. I think you basically have to tank.
I think a home game against the Cheetahs or the Force.
Someone will slip up.
Somebody will cock it up.
Yeah, and they'll just, fall over the line and score a couple of tries, but it's not going to be good. These earlier teams, I mean, the Rebels were there, the Force were there. And the ones in South Africa have always been really bad. I mean, the Cats back before they got turned into the Cheetahs were a fair disgrace. So could be ugly.
It won't be pretty. None of the expansion teams that come in have been particularly successful, so.
But the Rebels, they're Rebels, mate. They're coming.
All right, tell me about it, Eric.
You're not buying what the Rebels are selling?
I'm not picking up what they're putting down, Eric.
Oh, God. Well, I think the truth is they still need a front row. Really badly, but if there's any competition where you can get away the easiest without a front row, it's Super Rugby. They probably have the best back row in the Super Rugby competition right now. They've got really good locks. They've got, quite a few Wallabies sprinkled throughout the paddock now, with O'Connor, Beale, Phipps got a lot of experience on his, tour away. Vuna's developing into a Wallabies level winger. They've got talent there. And I think that even though they might not get a whole lot more wins this year, I think the big difference, I hope, will be that they don't get flogged. They don't get beaten up as much by the good teams, and they just get a lot more competitive.
Yeah, they also shouldn't play O'Connor at 10.
There's that.
I just generally don't like O'Connor as a player. He doesn't do it to me, Eric. There seems to be a lack of pizzazz and excitement in his game. Maybe one dimensional a little bit, I don't know. But you're right about the back row. It's incredible, especially getting Higginbotham. That'll really help. And he was injured, but he's had a year off, so he should be pretty fresh. So
Gareth
the
Delve, my favourite rebel, still motoring away.
oh for Neville. Look, it's a great. Four through to eight, but the problem is 1 to 3, and that's where your scrum goes backwards. And it seems the tactic is to simply collapse the scrum and hope like hell that you get a penalty. So without good props, it's going to be a struggle. I don't know why they don't get that 36-year-old guy from Argentina. He's a beast.
I think the reason is because the average age of the team right now is about 25. So I think they're being smart here. They're building a nucleus for a team that can be competitive for quite a while.
Unless the props that they've got that are young are actually babies.
Yeah,
There aren't too many good props coming out of Australia these days, Eric.
we'll see. We've got some Japanese hooker, so maybe he'll come good.
Oh, he's been coached by John Kerwin. He'll be fine. He'll be tough as nails. He got those guys cut.
Yeah.
They were in shape.
Yeah, they played hard. I'm really hoping he makes the squad and gets to play in a match because I think that'd be pretty cool to see. First Japanese player in Super Rugby. But anyway, we are digressing at this point, Kirk. Tell me your Super Rugby table at the end of the year from 1 through 6.
All right, well, I've got the Stormers taking it out. I'm going to have them coming at number one. Highlanders finishing second. No.
No.
Not picking up what I'm putting down.
Dikembe says no.
No. I've got the Brumbies coming in third, the Chiefs fourth, Sharks fifth, and Reds sixth.
Crusaders don't make it.
No, I'm going to toss it up. I'll put.
Toss up.
I think it's just because the Reds have an easier conference. I mean, they should beat the three bottom sides, whereas the Crusaders are going to have a hell of a lot harder. Whoever finishes third in the New Zealand conference is always going to have a lower winning ratio because that conference is so tough. There's four good teams and then the Blues.
True. True.
Whereas the Australian one has two good teams, an average team, and then two up and coming teams.
I'm going to completely contradict everything you said there, Kirk.
Cool.
My table is. I think I'm going to put the Chiefs up the top. I do. I think they
Right.
just. I think they score. They score points. That wins games in Super Rugby.
Yeah, but Bill, he was a lot of their line breaks.
We'll see. We will see. I could be completely wrong. Probably am. But Chiefs up the top. Stormers in second. Reds in third. Then I'd see the. It's tough after that. It is really tough. I'd probably put the Crusaders in fourth, the Sharks in fifth, and the Highlanders in sixth. I think only one Australian team makes the finals.
Ooh.
I think three New Zealand teams will sneak in. Those three teams are really good. And I think realistically, in that, I'd probably put the Brumbies and the Waratahs fitting into 7th, 8th and 9th. Like, I think two out of the three teams that just miss out will be Australian.
I mean, that's a problem if you're that third team in the New Zealand Conference. I mean, that it's just so tight. If you have a bad run in interconference play, that's half your season gone.
Yeah.
But then if you get an easy schedule out of it, you can really pick up some wins. So you could easily still have a semi-decent record, but only lose against your home conference. That's where it gets tough, but that's the whole point. You've got to be the best in your conference to get there.
True, but I mean, look, as much as we say the New Zealand Conference is going to be very tough to win the, you know, matches within your conference, we do see teams travel over to Western Australia and lose. You know, we do see teams come down to Melbourne and lose, you know. Yeah. So they're not going to be easy beats.
No, not at all.
The other thing I wanted to quickly finish on is, how long ago does it seem that we were watching Super Rugby?
Oh, God, it finishes so early in the year.
It's been a very long year. Like, because last year was a very great, it was an awesome season of Super Rugby. It was really competitive, came down to the wire. And it just seems like a distant memory at this point.
Well, it almost feels like a long time since I've even seen rugby, Eric.
Yeah, that's true.
Just in general, I mean, it's been months. I've had withdrawals, I had cold sweats. So in general, it's been a long time since I've seen rugby, but Super Rugby, you're right, it's been a long time. And it's more exciting in a sense than – no, more, not more exciting, more entertaining than the internationals.
Absolutely.
Because people just throw caution to the wind and go crazy. Whereas when you get to the internationals, it's about not stuffing it up than actually trying to win the game.
It's a halfway house between something like the NPC and international rugby, really, and that's what it's been set up to be.
Oh, God, yes, because the NPC is batshit crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome to watch. It's just like Rugby Sevens played with 15 people where they just, you know, lots of points scored. But at least in Super Rugby, you get the international play, you get big crowds, you get, you know, a higher stage, but it's still, you know, you see teams with athletics packs, you know, winning championships. You see teams spreading the ball around and taking risks. And then in international rugby, it becomes a lot slower and more, you know, gritty, but then you get the amazing stage of something like a Bledisloe Cup match or a Lions tour.
Exactly. So it's just a little bit more fluid, but I'm looking forward to it. I just love my rugby so much.
Does this mean you're going to actually see a game in Western Australia this year?
What, you think I'm going to give those crackers my money? Get the hell out of here. I don't deserve my money. If a New Zealand team comes over, I'll pay to watch, especially if the Hurricanes are here. I haven't actually checked any of the schedules. but they're so depressing to watch. I can exactly their strategy now. Give it to the fly half. Somebody hits it up inside or outside. Ruck. Parts of the fly half who then gives it to somebody to hit up. Game over. Just do that 90 times in a row.
Cut to half of the barn or whatever they call it, hanging themselves because...
Oh, the shed, yeah. The bogans in there will be going crazy.
It's not good for Western Australian rugby right now. The signs are... The prospectus is not great.
I don't know why people keep turning up. It's $32 to go watch that stink fest.
Yeah, well, I'm paying $35 to see your boys come on tour on Friday night for a concession.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wait, for a pre-season game.
No. Rugby starts this weekend, Kirk.
Wait, this weekend? Oh, what the date? I didn't even know what the date was.
It starts on Friday night.
Oh, it does too. It's the 12th, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Like I said, rugby sneaks up on you.
Yeah, it does. I haven't even been looking at the date. This shows you how much I enjoy my job.
Yeah.
It's a grind. Every day is the same. So this weekend, I'm even more excited. No, I'm not going to a forced game, but they also don't get here until March 6th, so they could be 0-5 by then, or 0-4. Depends if they lose to the bye or not.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I think that is a suitable, confusing note to end the podcast on. So I thank you for your insightful input as always, Kirk, and I look forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it too.
All right, as usual, you can follow this podcast at sportspolygamy.com. You can also find us on Facebook and iTunes where you can subscribe to keep track. If you've got any feedback, please leave it on the Facebook wall or on the blog. We'd love to hear it. Until next week, I'm Eric George.
I'm Kirk Delsey.
And that's Sports Polygamy. See ya.